Hey everyone, this is John Puritz. Welcome to the Man Up Already podcast. This show is dedicated to each of us being better in all areas of our lives, mentally, spiritually, physically, and relationally. We want to help you be a better you because when you man up already, the world around you is greatly impacted. Here on the podcast, we don't believe you're an accident. We believe each of us is created for purpose, and this show is dedicated to helping you discover and live out that purpose. Again, welcome to the show, and let's check out another great episode. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Man Up Already podcast. And as always, super, super excited to have you here. Before we bring in our incredible guest today, I want to remind everyone, head on over to manupalready.com, the 2024 Man Up Already Growth Conference is up and running. It is February 24th from 9 to 2 in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Tickets are available on there. They're $25, and we are calling this a few good men because we are limiting it to 50 guys in a room with some incredible speakers, incredible workshops. It's going to be an amazing 5 hours on a Saturday. Please, 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 if you're listening and you're in the area and you're a man, get to that event. And if you're a woman, kick your guy's butt in gear and get him to that event. It's going to be awesome. But I want to introduce our guest today. Super pumped to have this guy on here. We connected over LinkedIn. We met, and it's just been an incredible conversation, and I'm super, super excited to have him. Our guest today is on a mission to lead and guide a million dads to change their family tree forever. What a great, incredible mission. So in alignment with what we do here. He is the creator of the Warrior Dad Experience. I'm going to let him tell his story and what he's up to and have a great conversation with our guest. Please welcome Jeff Wickersham. All right, Jeff, I'm super pumped to have you, bro.
John, I am fired up, got goosebumps, ready to go.
I see, like, you know, it's like that men movement podcasting kind of vibe, right? Like the black shirts with the logo, the facial hair. Like, we're just crushing it already.
There you go. We're living the dream, my man.
I knew when we connected that there was going to be some very like-minded synergy for sure. So it really is an honor and a pleasure to have you on the Man Up Already podcast.
Yeah, I'm grateful and honored to be here.
So, let's talk first your story, right? So I shared, you know, you're up to this impacting a million dads forever, which I love. You have a testimony that you literally just shared with me as that speaks to that. So where did that come from? What's your background? Like, just kind of let our audience know what you're, you know, where you're from and what you're up to.
Yeah, so live outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You got two sons, 15 and 13. And John, I'll tell you, my journey really starts. I'm sharing. I got a pink wristband on my right arm. I lost my mom to breast cancer a little over 9 years ago. So when you watch the woman that brought you into this world take her last breath in front of you, that fragility of life 2x4 smacks you upside the head. And it's like, okay, we get one trip around the sun. What kind of impact do I want to have? I was 20 years in corporate America at that point. I kind of always felt like a square peg in a round hole. I always felt like I had more potential inside, right? It was this itch that a lot of times I didn't have the courage to scratch, right? I numbed it up, sedated it with whether it's alcohol, porn, gang, all those vices that kind of cripple us and chip away at us as men. And after my mom passed, I luckily was kind of forced out of corporate America, ended up leaving, opening up a boutique gym. I was always into the physical fitness side of things. My late mother was a school teacher, but taught her step aerobics in the 80s, at nights. And then what organically grew out of that is when I became an entrepreneur, I had zero skills in that field. I was still doing the same stuff as far as hanging out, drinking with the buddies till 2 a.m. And I still remember playing cards till like 2 in the morning, waking up to do a fitness class at 8 and going to kiss my wife. And she said, "How are you going to teach a class about fitness and wellness and you stink of alcohol?" And I was there's a little truth bomb sent my way. So, you know, I started that journey of up-leveling myself. Who do I truly want to be? How do I want to show up for my wife, my two boys? How do I want to lead them so they don't go through those dark times or they're at least equipped with strategies, tools, tactics to fight those demons, fight those dragons that we all battle, all face. And then this year, I had a ultra marathon running buddy. He had a friend, dad of three, committed suicide. And then my sister knew a dad that committed suicide. I said, you know what? It's dads. I want to help dads lead by example, but then also pay it forward to the next generation, right? Their legacy that's going to live on. So that's really where the warrior dad was birthed.
And you've had this now for how long?
For, geez, 10 months now. So I've got
okay, class, awesome.
Class seven is going, they're in week one right now. Dads are crushing it. So yeah, I've had six classes go through and graduate out. And this is the seventh class right now going through it.
And so, okay. So what, you know, if you can describe what a class kind of looks like for dads out there when they, you know, I love that, you know, it's amazing, you know, and I think it's so important that we have spouses that check us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I really do, because it is typically that's where it will come from. We're like, oh crap. Right. I gotta get my act together. And then we make change. So when a dad says I'm in, what does mm-hmm. that look like for them through your program?
Yeah. So I keep the class close knit, right? It's a brotherhood. It's a community. That's number one, yeah. Because many times men are lone wolves. And ego gets involved and nah, I'm good. I don't need to jump in. What are you saying? I'm not a good dad. No, I'm just saying, do you have the ability to get better? We all do. I still have the ability to get better every day. So dad jumps in. We control the bookends, PM and AM bookend. That's where you can get some semblance of control in an otherwise chaotic world. We dial in your energy. Energy, number one virtue, to be able to crush life personally and professionally. That's where the foundation needs to come from. So, you know, we have daily accountability where you're checking in that you're getting your work done, because let's be honest, as adults, there's little to no accountability for us. So you're checking in, you're part of a group, that group raises your game, right? I'm the tip of the spear, driving with energy, driving with passion, driving with purpose. And throughout that 10-week process, and it's 10 weeks in length, the experience, because habits have been shown to take anywhere from 21 to 67 days. So I purposely want to get over that 67-day threshold. Right. We're meeting weekly, but we're checking in daily and we're sending energy out into the universe. And we're leading and learning at the highest level, John. So we learn, we take action, but then we share the journey with our kiddos, with our family. And when we are the captain of our family, that is like a sports team, everybody else follows. And it's amazingly powerful. I've seen the transformation this year as I purposely stepped into that warrior dad mentality for my family. I mean, my family's getting up and hitting the gym at 5:15 in the morning before school, right? My wife's a school teacher before my boys go to school. And it's amazingly powerful.
I love it. I love it. You know, one of the things that's part of the man up already philosophy and mindset is the power of your posse, right? Yep. The power of your circle, why your circle matters. And men need that circle. It's just so incredibly important, and we get caught up in the wave of just doing, you know, it's kind of like, I love what you said, you know, we numb ourselves, you know, with things, right? So and we get caught in that wave of responsibility, of duty. I've got to be a good husband. I've got to be a good father. I've got to be a provider. And all of those things tend to become titles instead of, you know, just ways of being, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? We're trying to check off a box. Did I do these things? And meanwhile, inside, we're kind of dying a slow death.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? So true. I love to say you've got to define your identity. Who do you want to be? Yeah. You can those boxes that you're talking about be checked off within those identities? Absolutely. But who do you want to show up as? Right. And I guarantee you ask 100 dads that question, 99 of them are going to look like you got three eyes, you know, in your head. They're going to not have any idea, or they've never even thought about that process. So defining how you want to show up day in and day out, that gives you tremendous power. Why? Because that identity drives actions versus how we've been kind of programmed to operate. And it's no fault of our own, right? We grew up, what did our parents say when we had the sniffles? Well, how do you feel, Jeff? I don't really feel good, Mom. Well, take it easy. Sit on the couch. Well, what did that wire in our minds? Well, we should take actions upon how we feel. How does that correlate to us as adults? Well, I don't feel like hitting the gym this morning. Well, then you don't do it. and then you spiral down versus how I like to define identity. And we do this in the Warrior Dad Experience. Three areas: energy, work, love. When we define our identity, you take action upon that identity. Energy for me, I'm a world-class athlete. You think a world-class athlete takes days off when he's not feeling it? Heck no. Those are the days that matter, right? Those are push-through days. So defining who you are, how are you going to show up? It gives you tremendous, tremendous power for those days when you don't feel like it. And every single person does not feel like it a lot of days more than the days they do feel like it, right? It's just how quickly can you get in the state and can you dial in that identity?
How much do you, you know, I was just very present to, I think I want to dive deeper into fathers. Okay. Because right, that's where you're really, where your mission lies, right? And you said something like, how often, I know the numbers, right? They're ridiculously small on how many men were fathered to do the things that we're talking about, right? And the answer is very little, right? Like we just got no kind of model for, you know, this is how you balance it all, or this is how you handle it all, or it's kind of left to figure it out. But I find as men that, you know, we're filling all these roles, trying to do the best that we can. But without that circle, without that group, without what you're providing and what we talk about here, there's no outlet, right? There's no expression of that. And so where do you kind of see the, all right, I've got to help men be better fathers. And then the mission of how important fatherhood is to, you talked about the tip of the spear. Maybe you could elaborate on, you know, because we're seeing, what I'm seeing in my engagement with others is either he can't, one person said to me that, you know, if men don't even have the vocabulary to express what's going on inside because they were never taught or given the opportunity to do so, you know, and how that plays out in fatherhood and repeating, you know, patterns and all that. So I just would love your thoughts on that stuff.
Yeah. First I'll go to like us. We didn't get the strategies, tactics, and tools, right? Well, I was born in 1975, grew up in the 80s, right? Back then, personal development, you had to like watch it. Right. TV infomercial and dial a number and get a CD from Jim Rohn. Like it wasn't necessarily the fault of our parents. And I had a great mom and dad, and my dad was very present. He coached me in baseball, was all at all my, you know, games and really encouraged me, but they didn't have those tools. So they couldn't break the chain in us, right? We live in the greatest time in the history of man with access to information everywhere.
Right.
We don't have a lack of knowledge, we've got a lack of action. And I always love to say, John, it takes one dad, and you could be that dad listening to this podcast today. Based upon our discussion, John, you could change your family tree forever. And we discount forever. And I'm doing that myself. And I've got other dads who go through the experience. And I'll share, John, the note I got this morning, because I think it's just powerful to what we're talking about. I had a dad who went through class two, and here's the note.
Before you read that, do you know how this dad showed up? Like, to get the note that you got, who was the dad before he came through your experience?
He was a dad that was managing a real estate business, had four kids under the age of seven, and was spread way too thin. He had listened to all the podcasts, read all the books. He said he did it all, but he didn't have that stability. When he came home from trips and he traveled a lot for work, he always felt like, when was the pin going to drop? When was he going to yell at his wife or get a little short with his kids that he really didn't want to and have to apologize? So he just didn't have that foundation to build off of. And I remember our discussion via Zoom halfway in. He's like, I'm in, like, sign me up. Right. And you know, here was the note I got from him today. He says, y'all want to know how epic the Warrior Dad program is? It's stuff like this. One of my boys' teachers pulled my wife aside yesterday. He's six, and said that Jack is the number one leader she's taught in 21 years of her career. We don't get to choose how smart we are, how tall, how fast, how good looking. We can choose to be epic leaders. Warrior Dad program, no doubt, played a part in him getting that compliment.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, and at six, I mean, the imprinting, right? The it's like a blank slate of what we can imprint on our kids. You know, I think about my relationship with our children, which is extremely transparent and authentic, which is obviously things that I preach on here. But from a father and son perspective, I'm in awe of my relationship with my son compared to my relationship with my own father and my father's relationship with his, you know, and what you talk about breaking a cycle and transforming relationships. It's I think it's the greatest work that we could do.
Yeah, so true. And I agree with you on the transparency piece, right? I've talked to my boys about battles with alcohol. I gave up alcohol 2 years ago. One of the main reasons was to chart a path and say that you can choose differently. My oldest son just had an example of being at a party where booze and nicotine and vaping were, and he said, "Dad, can you pick me up early?" He said, "I ain't doing that crap." I guarantee you it's from that transparency and saying, "Hey, all the dark times I had has always been under the influence." I talked about porn with my boys and, you know, how it impacted my relationship, intimate relationship with my wife, right? And by sharing the story, they're equipped with, okay, wait a second. One, dad's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. They might come to you and talk to you about those things. And to your point, you know, maybe the relationship wasn't that way. And it wasn't that way with my dad necessarily growing up. We didn't talk about those things. We talk about them now, right? Because I'm much more transparent in the challenges and the battles and, you know, the setbacks at times I've had. But that transparency, it builds a bond, like you said, John, that just opens up a communication channel. And that's how we continue to grow as our kids get older.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I want to, you mentioned it earlier, and we're kind of in there as well. What would you say, and I think porn is obviously a big one. It's a big challenge out there. I mean, some of the things that, and I wrote in my book that I had an addiction to it, but it wasn't an addiction there. The addiction, or what I thought was a symptom of something underneath. I'm big on, we can label things and we can say, you know, we're addicted to this or this is a problem, but what's the under, there's something underneath that causes that. But there is no denying that pornography is a big distractor. And, you know, I'm thumping the drum on social media is a couple of steps removed from that now on what you see, and what's put in front of our face. So it's kind of, what's your take on all that stuff? You know, you talked about checking out into all these things, and I'm sure you see it with men when you're dealing with it. I certainly do. You know, just, I'd love your, you know, to dive deeper in that conversation.
I would say porn was the entry point into those vices, all of them, right? Is because you get a quick hit of dopamine, right? And it was all related to self-worth for me, right? And now, like to your point, it's all over social media. Like you can get it in an instant, click on it, and it totally screws up your brain.
Big
totally rewires how you operate on a daily basis. You become just searching for that, and it's not real, right? It's two amazingly good looking actors and actually like it rewires your brain, and there's so many pieces to it. And then, you know, the social media piece, I just had a woman on my podcast from Mental Game Academy, and she talks about, like, kids, if they've spent 2 hours on their phone for 2 to 3 years, by the time they're 16, they're 3 years behind developmentally.
Wow. Right? I did not know that number.
And
wow.
Yeah. That's what doctors are seeing now, right? Because they become introverted. They don't have social skills. So like I told my wife, we got to have a sit down and really just put in some restrictions and different things. And I feel like we're pretty good. We have a digital sunset and some other things, but man, it just takes away from who you are as a human being. You see other people's highlight reels and you compare, and then you feel crappy about yourself because you feel like you never measure up. I mean, I don't have Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok on my phone. I only have LinkedIn for my ability to post, because I don't want those distractions. And they'll suck you in, and next thing you know, you're a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour just scrolling through mindless crap. There are so many distractions out there from a dad perspective, but then we also have to shield our kids from it, because we're battling the most sophisticated artificial intelligence known to man. John, you're not going to win that battle. I'm not going to win that battle. Nope. We got to put up hard, bright white lines of like, hey, it's deleted from my phone. Then I don't get the urge to check it. Right. So it is porn, social media, all those things. It just attaches you. And it goes back to what you said. Like, who are we? Well, many times we don't define who we are. We're looking at who social media is feeding we should be versus, hey, who do I truly want to show up as? What are some of my values, character traits that I want to embody, I want to grow with, I want to be, right? And that's a powerful discussion and conversation to have with yourself.
You know, I would, and I don't know the answer to this, but I'd love to know the answer based on what you shared, right? If somebody's 2 hours on social, developmentally, they're three years behind. I would love to know if that goes all the way up into somebody's 20s, right? If our brain is developing right all the way up to 25, how far does that really go in stunting what would be considered an adult? You know, but they're not. They're behind.
Right.
That's an interesting thing, man. There's so many things working against men and dads, right? And why I think what you're doing and certainly what we stand for here is so incredibly important is we've got to be that voice in the darkness or in the center of the storm going, hey, there is refuge here. This is how we can set the proper boundaries. I'm big on that book, Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud, on how to properly, what you're talking about. I love digital sunset, get it off my phone, do all these things. And everybody's different on what they need, you know, to have and how they need to operate. One thing that really radically, I think, helped me, and I still do it, is when I'm with my family, my phone goes into a separate place in the room, right? I don't want it. I'm with my family. I'm going to leave it on silent. I'll get to whatever's on there later. And the beauty of, for those that don't know, I'm sure most people do, but if people are in your favorites, and you have your ringer on, but you're on like sleep or whatever, the emergency stuff's going to come through anyway.
Correct. Right?
So most everything else isn't, it's just not an emergency, and to keep it off. And then the other thing I think is incredibly important is when we go to, there's no technology when we're going to bed, and we have a set period of time while we're going, you know, getting ready for bed, that technology goes off. And I even went so far as in our closet, there were no outlets, but I installed outlets to keep the phones in the closet. Like when we're in bed, it's not on the night's table. It like the closet's in a complete different section of the room, far enough away that I could hear if it rings off for an emergency, but you can't pick it up in the middle of the night. It's just far away. And I think those are things that need to be established just to help us develop the habits that you're talking about.
100%. I mean, my phone has been on do not disturb for the last 4 years. It drives my wife a little batty crazy because she tries to text me and I won't respond right away. And she knows I'm like, you're in my favorites. If it's an emergency, you can call me, but I'm not getting pinged by other people's priorities or, you know, any email. Nope, it's not happening.
Yeah,
I want to be focused. I want to be a warrior day in and day out, being the best version of myself. In order to do that, I got to eliminate distractions, right? Eliminating distractions. Do you know how freeing that is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're constantly in a state of fight or flight. Why is anxiety, depression, all those things, suicide at epic rates? Because we're wired to our phone. What many people go to bed wired to their phone, wake up immediately wired to their phone. They have no time away from that fight or flight. They're in constant emergency mode. It's no wonder why they're anxious, depressed, all those things. We've got to get away from that crap. We've got to work on ourselves first as men, as dads, as leaders. Then your family starts following. And there's no better night in my household than all of us up in bed by 9 p.m. And I've got teenagers and we're getting up and attacking the gym early in the morning, because I tell my boys all the time, if the herd's going that way, go the opposite. And we dare to be uncommon. We pursue excellence in our family, and that's how I'm setting them up for success in the future.
All right. So I just feel called to do this. So there's a guy listening right now, right, who's trying to figure it out. And there may be women who are trying to figure it out, right? Because our listeners are both. What are some success principles? I like to say success is built on a chassis, right? They apply all across the board. What are some things you just talked about? One, right? Everybody's down or winding down at 9 p.m. What are some things that you say these are? If you want to start to develop the framework, here's some habits that I think you need to apply to get the ball rolling.
Yep. Obviously the PM, we've talked about that a little bit, digital sunset, getting away from tech, getting a great night's sleep, right? Sleep is where we physically repair, where our minds, kind of a street sweeper, comes through and cleans out that glunk throughout the day, right? So we can wake up fresh. And so many people are sleep deprived and they have no idea because they're grabbing a cup of caffeinated Joe and they've gotten used to being sleep deprived. So you got to get at least 7 hours of sleep, good quality sleep. And to be getting 7 hours, that means you need to be in bed maybe 7 hours, 45 minutes, 8 hours, because you're not going to sleep that whole time.
Right.
First thing when you wake up in the morning, no distractions. Do not check your phone. It's like the tractor beam of the Death Star. Do not check your phone. Do not let negativity in, right? News, email, text, social. We have a built-in negativity principle, right? Mm-hmm. Our mind, we've got that caveman brain. It amplifies anything negative or perceived as negative 8 to 9 to 10 times more than a positive emotion. You get one of those things before you get momentum in your day, you're down that negativity route all day long. And it happens to 95, 98% of people. So eliminate distractions, stack wins right when you wake up. Get quick wins. I like to tell the dads in the Warrior Dad Experience, give me 1% of your day. 1% of your day, John, is 14 minutes, 24 seconds. Stack 7 wins real quick. You stack those 7 wins, whew, you feel good. Then you can let the day kind of come your way, right? But we got to get momentum. We got to feel good about ourselves. We got to take care of ourselves first as dads. Then we can take care of others.
That's great. So for you, so the big thing is, let's dive into the evening a little bit, because I really do think people struggle with that. It was something that we started applying is, and got very present too. There is a time in the evening where you need to stop eating, right? Because you're not going to get a good night's sleep. So maybe we're just talking about sleep. You're not going to get a good night's sleep if your digestive system is still working, right? Like, so you got to pay attention to when you stop eating, when you stop drinking because of getting up, right, frequently to go to the bathroom. But, you know, last year was a real, I finally had hit that point of, all right, something seriously wrong with my sleep. And even though I'm in shape and all that, I'm on a CPAP machine because I'm not getting enough air through my nose. And that has changed the game for me. So now, where once we would, you know, if we were going to bed at 11, 11:30, my wife and I, right, TV's off at 9 o'clock, and we're in bed by 10 and typically sleeping at 10:30 and we're up at 6:30. And some people do 4:30 and all that's different for everyone. You got to find the thing that works. But, I've noticed a major, major change just in setting that time to be shut off. Like we used to shut off at 10 and now it's 9 and being very rigid on doing that. So I mean, sleep is, it is, I think it's the health hack that is probably most neglected, because I don't think people really know how to handle sleep.
No, I would agree with you. And listen, I'm a reformed on the other side of the fence. I used to tell my late mother, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Well, I'd probably be dead.
That's a teachable moment. That right there is really huge, because how often do you hear that? Especially we're talking about dads and men and dads and grind, get it done. Like we're doing damage in psychologically, physically. I'm a big, like I grew up in a culture, not in a business culture, for over 18 years that said that, right. Yep. You take off when you win, you sleep when you're dead. Like there's 7 hours a day. That's 7 days of work. You know, I've heard all that shit. So you just hit the button.
No, like, listen, that's the way I used to operate. I'm so far on the other side of the fence right now.
Yeah, same.
I've got to dial it in. I get that 7 hours almost every night. Nobody's perfect. I don't eat optimally four. Typically it's 3 hours before I go to bed because I usually go to bed at nine. Last night was 8:45, right? I don't drink water a couple hours before bed. I will tell you, I've instituted a grounding sheet. I don't know if you're familiar with grounding, but you know, there's some some theories around the earth and its electric field, and we should be in contact with it. I'm sleeping better.
In 2 days I'm hearing about this grounding thing.
I used to get up and go to the bathroom very frequently at night. I haven't in the last month and a half, very rarely. So kind of crazy. So I dialed in and I'm getting away from blue light. I'm getting away from tech, or I have blue light blockers on. Why? You get blue light before you go to bed, it reduces your melatonin production by 50%. Now that doesn't stop you from going to sleep, but it stops the quality of sleep, right? As long as you're asleep. So sleep is so important for sure. And it's such a missed piece because, to your point, I'll sleep when I'm dead. That mentality, dude, you're going to be dead sooner rather than later if you keep that mindset.
So let's back, because it's three times in 2 days. What is grounding? And maybe enlighten me a little bit in our audience on what that is.
So I have a grounding sheet. So it's got some silver copper wires woven into it. And you basically plug it into the outlet, but it doesn't go into the two electrical plugs. It's just the circular plug down below, which is the grounding plug. So it goes through your house to the ground. And it's supposed to connect you to Mother Earth while you sleep, and your skin's on it. I've gotten better sleep than I have in quite some time the past month.
Is it a piece of pad that you're sleeping on?
It's just a sheet. Yep. It's just a sheet, and you can wash it and everything. So it's pretty crazy. Yep.
That's so funny. Yeah. I've heard it's just funny because I had never heard of this. And then all of a sudden, like,
maybe the universe is talking to you.
I pay attention when things show up like that. It's like, all right, John, you probably need to pay attention to this.
Right.
Grounding. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Somebody, the two things that I had heard about it was like barefoot in the grass.
Yep.
You know, I'm afraid to do that in my backyard because there's the dogs go back.
Gotcha.
But I got to watch where I step.
So when this was brought up to me by one of my coaches, I thought back to when do I get the best sleep? Holy mackerel, it's when I go to the beach and I'm in barefoot all day long in the sand. Yeah. I'm getting sun. I'm out in the ocean. I'm connected. All right, let me try this out. And then all of a sudden I'd wake up and I didn't have to go to the bathroom at night. And I'm like, holy crap, I feel fantastic. So I'm a believer.
If you could, in your limited time, I'm sure, send me the link to,
I will
to what you found. That's interesting for sure. So I'm sorry, you're writing. I was just
making a note so I could get you the book, get you the link.
What else do you think is vitally important for men, for dads, and then there's the flip side, Jeff, to, there's the women in our lives that are dealing with all of these things. So maybe if you could talk a little bit about what you see most when you're coaching dads, what are some breakthroughs maybe besides the 6-year-old, like what just comes to mind on here's some major things that need to be worked on. And then here's some incredible victories.
Yeah. I would say one is we are wired as men to provide versus pour into our families. And it's counterintuitive, but I've seen it too many times to think it's just randomly happening. When you pour into your family, all of a sudden you're more motivated to provide.
Yeah, I agree.
Not the other way, right? And so many say, well, if I gotta hammer work because that's more important, but you're not spending time with your kids. I mean, you get 18 seasons with your kids. Crazy statistics. I shared this on social one time and it kind of went viral. Like by age 12, 75% of the time you spend with your son or daughter is gone. Mm. By age 18, 95% of the time you'll get with them is gone. Like you only have limited time. So one thing I say, and one big mistake I see dads making, is they don't answer every bid for their attention. I made a promise to both my boys. unless I'm on a podcast interview like this or a Zoom call with, you know, coaching dads, you ask me to do something, the answer is always yes. The email can wait. The phone call that I could make can wait. And that has allowed, now at 15 and 13, they still ask me to do things, right? There's this common narrative, I'll wait till they're teenagers. Bullshit. Like, if you pour into your kids, if you answer every bid, you tell them how amazing it was and you thank them for asking you, that relationship can just flourish. So,
yeah,
you know,
agreed.
Answering every bid for your attention, pouring into the family more, it will motivate you more in business. It's not the other way around, which is crazy.
Yeah. I totally agree with that, right? Because there's an exchange of energy there. Like, first off, it's not, I don't know how to say it any better than it. It's an exchange of energy. When we pour into our family, the love that comes back,
yeah,
right, fills us up so that we can go out there and do the things that we do. You know, my wife is quality of time. That's her love language. And mm-hmm. before we learned what that was, I would, in my former life as a high school band director, I worked 45 minutes from home. So I would leave like 6 something in the morning. I sometimes wouldn't get home until 8 at night okay. because of, I just ran this whole music program. And so for me as a young 30 year old guy, I just didn't get it. Like, it was mm-hmm. like, don't you get that I'm out there, you know, slaying dragons for you.
Right.
And not understanding that she's like, but you're not here. You know, and so we can, as men and dads, get so wrapped up, and our kids were in daycare. And it wasn't until because of somebody watching our children besides my wife that put their lives in jeopardy that I woke up to something's really, really got to change. And I say a lot in the things that I put out there, it shouldn't take the house on fire or her walking out the door for us to wake up to something's got to give.
Right.
I think it's so vital that we, you know, you talked about it. We're the tip of the spear. We are the leaders. When we put that energy out, oftentimes it's going to come back versus waiting around for something to change that we haven't been the catalyst for.
Yeah. You've got to set the example. You've got to set the standard. And our families, children specifically, learn more from watching you and what you do versus what you tell them.
Right.
I mean, I take great pride in 2 years ago, I ran the Goggins run, the 4x4x48, 2 years in a row. My sons ran legs with me. They watched me go through it this past year. I said, all right, I've done it twice. I need a different challenge. This past year, July 1st, I dubbed the Wickersham Challenge. It's 26 rounds, 1.01 mile run, 50 pull-ups, 75 sit-ups, 100 push-ups. My family watched me do it. It's a full marathon. 1,300 pull-ups, 1,950 sit-ups, 2,600 pull-ups, push-ups. It took me 16 and a half hours. Do you know what that did for my boys to set the standard of what chasing life is, doing uncomfortable stuff? And I'll never forget, an hour afterwards, it was like, I started at 7 a.m. I didn't finish until 11:30 p.m. My oldest son came down the steps. He said, Dad, I'm proud of you. He said, how many dads would have done what you just did? One in a million? One in 10 million?
Right.
I said, I don't know, buddy, but that's chasing our potential. That's, you know, doing hard things because it strengthens us mentally. Right. So setting the standard, being that tip of the, we need to do that as men and as dads, and we need to do it intentionally with the thought of what are we leading our children to do? What are we setting the standard for them to do? Right. We want to break that generational chain. We want to set them up for better success. Like, that's the greatest gift you can give your kids as a dad. Set them up for success so they can outpace what you've done by 10, 100x. My boys have meditated with me for the last 3 years. My oldest now does it on his own. They ask me all the time, Dad, are we going to be able to do what you? I'm like, you've got 30 years head start from a meditation perspective on me. You're going to blow me away. But so many of us aren't. As dad's leading that way, ego gets involved. We think we've got it all figured out. Man, growth mindset is we can always get better. And when you're thinking about your kids and their future, wouldn't you want to get a little bit better? Wouldn't you want to give them those things that maybe you didn't have when you were growing up? that's what lights me up about what I do and the Warrior Dad experience.
All right. So what, give me the Wickersham challenge again.
It was 26 rounds.
Okay, 26 rounds. In the course of how many hours?
It took me 16 and a half hours.
So is there no time? It's just when you do it?
It's just, I just said I'm going to do it until I finish.
Okay.
26 rounds. Each round is 1.01 mile run because I wanted to do a full marathon in a day. I just didn't want to do a full continuous marathon. 1.01 mile run, 50 pull-ups, 75 sit-ups, and 100 push-ups.
Woof.
It was a test. Let me just
put it that brutal, way. Man. I've done 100 push-ups a day for 90 days, but 100 push-ups, pull-ups. No, I did 100 push-ups. 50. That's some challenge. To do it in 16 hours is a feat. I mean, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
How did you space that out?
I didn't. I just grinded through it, right? I got some recovery.
So when you would finish a round, what was the recovery before you did another one?
I just had a massage gun, get my legs, get my forearms, wife would get my back and hamstrings, and I'd go out for a run. I didn't rest. Other than being in my garage gym, it was just getting through them, right? Other than go to the bathroom in the house, it was.
So you pretty much said it, like, all right, this is the time I'm setting aside and I'm going to crank this thing out until I get it done.
Yep. I did it on a Saturday my ultra marathon running buddy. One, he said, is that even possible? Which once he said that, he had me hooked to, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I told him time and time again, I said, I'm willing to pay the price no matter what it takes. And it's funny, 3 days after we were at the beach and my wife and I are sitting in our beach chairs watching the ocean. And she said, you know what? I was a little scared when you were going through it. And I go, why? She goes, I thought you were going to die. She goes, I knew you would not quit until you got that thing done. So, that's the warrior mindset, is attacking life, throwing punches, losing a battle, but continuing to get up and fight. And it was an epic challenge to say the least.
That's awesome, man. That's really, that's phenomenal. I did 75 hard and okay. I did a tough mutter and I blew my knee out halfway through it. And
oh,
it was,
man,
the same kind of mindset of you're going to have to pull me off this thing, unconscious, cause I'm not coming off. So I get it. But, I know there's something like that around the corner for me. I just don't know what it is yet. But it is fun. I always like to, I talked about it last weekend and it's a small thing, but I think they can start with, you don't have to go do the Wickersham challenge right out of the gate. But like last Saturday, right, I had earmarked that as my ride along day. It's when I, riding a bike is a part of my workout routine. And I typically go, record while I'm doing it, something I call it the ride along. And it was raining.
Mm.
And normally I'd be like, it's raining. That's probably not ideal. And I was like, no, dude, go do something hard because you got some hard things to do ahead of you, and it could be that little thing. Go bike riding, be willing to get drenched, be willing to push through the wind and the rain. And maybe it's little things like that. So I think what you're talking about encourages men and fathers to say, hey, where is a boundary that you can break right now and push through and do something out of that comfort zone to start building that resilience and that strength to take even larger steps?
John, I love seeing it from the frame of, hey, that rainy day mentality, I like to call it. Hey, I'm going out for a run. Well, if I'm going out for a run in the rain, 99.9% of people aren't going to go for that run. So what do? I go for that run.
Right.
I'm not going to. And that's a competitive advantage, right? And life is a competition. Life's a fight. I go for that run. You know how amazingly empowering that is? You know how confidence that breeds from doing that? I've taken my sons out on runs in the rain, right? Why? That's a hard thing to do. Nobody does it. If we're going to be chasing our potential, we got to do hard things. And so many times we just stay in that comfort zone and it kills us from that perspective where, getting out of that comfort zone, it doesn't need to be a massive challenge, but setting, like you were saying, setting on a daily basis. Hey, how many push-ups am I going to do? Get a total number. Like last year I did 30,000 pull-ups, right? You saw that post I posted on LinkedIn, my elbow got jacked up. You know how hard that is though? You know what kind of confidence that gave me to lift 4.5 million pounds over the bar throughout the year?
Mm.
I, it's amazing. And so many men, so many dads are suffering from a lack of confidence. You got to do the work. You got to take action. Stop sitting on the damn couch. Get up and start fighting for yourself and fight for your family and your legacy. That's what will light you up. And that's what will bring that happiness. And when you see your sons or daughters starting to crush life, like Alex's son, right at 6 years old, 21 years of teaching. Teacher has never seen a better leader. I mean, that is what being a father is all about.
Yeah, man, that's great. It's just great. Well, we could do this all day, but I appreciate you, man. I want to make sure people can find you. What is what's the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, if you're a dad and you got that itch on the back of your neck and it's just screaming at you, you got that voice whispering, like, you know, you can be more, do more, have more, lead more for your family, go out to thewarriordad.com. I got a ton of content out there. Podcast is out there. You can grab a time to speak to me if you want to jump into one of the classes for the Warrior Dad Experience.
Is that, do I have that right?
You do. The warriordad.com.
Oh, hang on. Okay. There we go.
That is it. You got it.
Awesome. Well, I encourage our listeners to check out what you're up to and engage in the things that you're doing. Jeff, it's been awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm inspired by you know, the example that you're setting and how you're leading. And that's why I love doing this, man. It's a good checkup, right? On how can we continue to grow and get better. So I really do appreciate you.
No, John, thanks for having me on. It was truly an awesome discussion. I'm fired up. I might have to go out and do some kettlebell swings or burpees right now. So I appreciate you as well.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Take care.
For listening to another episode of the Man Up Already podcast. We really do appreciate it. And I want to ask you to do a couple of things. Number one, subscribe to the podcast, whatever platform you're listening or viewing on. Subscribe to the podcast, right? Help us, right, continue to grow by joining the community. And also rate the podcast, rate the episode, right? Whatever platform you're on, you could leave a rating. Let us know your comments. Let us know your thoughts. If you can do that, we really do want your feedback. You could head on over to manupalready.com and check out our website. All the podcast episodes are on there as well. But also join our community, sign up on our emailing list. We're going to get content out to you. There's also a free resource there for you when you do that. And pass it on. Pass on the podcast. Let people know, right, what we're up to, what we're about. Speak about it. If you're a podcast enthusiast, please share episodes. Tell people about what it is that we do. What we do here and what you like about it and what you don't like about it. And that's okay as well, right? It's just getting the word out. And then finally, I want to thank a great sponsor of our podcast, Master Beef Jerky. Their slogan is bold flavor, tender bite. If you head on over to masterbeefjerky.com, they've got incredible flavors there. But if you put in the coupon code MUAP, you will get 20% off your order. I highly recommend you check them out. Master Beef Jerky, bold flavor, tender bite, and a great, great sponsor of the podcast. Until next time, thanks so much for being here, and we'll talk to you soon.